Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into the January 2026 online safety newsletter from Knowsley City Learning Centers and Poulton Junior School.
Yeah, and reading this, it really feels like the conversation has finally evolved.
It does. We're past the simple stranger danger panic, you know?
Completely. This isn't just about scaring parents anymore. It's about the architecture of the platforms themselves. We're looking at how things like Instagram and Snapchat are actually built.
And how new tools like these teen accounts are trying to kind of retrofit safety into those systems.
Right. It's a move away from just monitoring and more toward curation.
So let's start with Instagram. That's the big one. They've rolled out these teen accounts for users between, what, 13 and 17?
Yep. And the newsletter highlights this very specific comparison they use.
The PG-13 movie thing.
Exactly. It's this promise of a moderated experience, you know, no violence, no really strong language. But the real meat of it, I think, is a setting they call limited content.
Okay, that's the feature that really caught my eye. It sounds like a basic filter, but it's a lot more aggressive than that.
It is. If you turn on limited content, you're not just cleaning up the feed. The source says it actually blocks the teen from seeing, leaving, or receiving comments entirely.
Which, I mean, that basically neuters the social part of a social network.
It does. It turns Instagram into a one-way broadcast, like TV, instead of that two-way feedback loop where things can get so toxic.
Yeah, it takes away the whole dopamine hit of likes and comments.
Exactly. Now, let's contrast that with Snapchat, which this newsletter also dives into.
Which operates on a totally different psychological level, right?
A completely different mechanism. Snapchat is all about that false sense of security.
Because the messages disappear. The little ghost logo isn't just for show.
Right. And the newsletter explicitly says that kids lower their inhibitions because they think it's all temporary. But, you know, screenshots are a thing. The data isn't gone.
It's just hidden. And then you add streaks on top of that.
Ugh, streaks. That's the gamification of friendship. You have to message back every 24 hours or the little fire emoji dies.
It's a pure retention mechanic. Yeah. It's designed to trigger FOMO.
For sure. But here's the practical piece from the source Snapchat's Family Center. It's actually a really interesting solution.
How does that work?
Well, it lets a guardian see who their child has messaged in the last week.
But not what they said.
Exactly. It shows you the network graph. Is my kid talking to their friend from school or some random username? But it protects the privacy of the actual conversation.
That's a clever middle ground. Okay, so we have to talk about the third pillar in this newsletter, which I think gets overlooked all the time.
Gaming.
Gaming. The source calls games wrappers for chat rooms. And that's such a perfect description.
It is, because parents see a kid playing a sports game or whatever, but they don't see the open voice or text chat that's running right underneath it.
And that's where the grooming risk really lies.
It is. So the advice here is super direct. Set all communications to friends only. But, and this is the key detail, you have to verify those friends are actually real life contacts.
Because in a game, a friend can be anyone who sent you a request to get some in-game reward.
It's a meaningless term. The newsletter also flags a type of cyberbullying that's specific to gaming.
The ganging up on players for not being good enough?
Yeah, criticizing their skill. It's an attack on their ability, which in a competitive space can be really damaging.
Oh, and a practical tip, don't save payment cards on the console.
Yes. That little bit of friction, having to get up and find the card, it prevents so much accidental spending on in-app purchases.
Okay, so that's the landscape. What's the toolkit? The newsletter points to two key resources. First, the National Cybersecurity Center, the NCSC.
That's your technical baseline. Things like managing a digital footprint, setting up two-step verification. It's just basic security hygiene.
Non-negotiable. But the second one is more behavioral. It's called the Family Smart Start Toolkit.
And it's designed for that huge milestone when a child gets their first phone or device.
Right. And it includes a template for a family agreement.
Which I love. The whole point isn't to impose rules from on high, but to actually sit down and negotiate them before the device is even in their hands.
It shifts the entire dynamic from policing to partnership, which is really the main takeaway here, isn't it? Mm. Safety isn't just a switch you flip.
It's a configuration you manage and a conversation you have to keep having.
So before we wrap, that family agreement concept sparked a thought. We spent all this time asking our kids to agree to these digital contracts, right?
Yeah, about their screen time, their behavior.
But what if you had to sign a binding agreement about your own digital habits today, you know, with actual penalties for breaking the rules? What restrictions would you honestly be able to follow?
That's a tough question.
Something to think about. Thanks for diving in with us.